Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
David Cobb is college basketball and college football writer at CBS Sports on X at David W. Cobb. He's also a role player here at 92.9 FM ESPN with me Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and on Jeffrey Wright and Company on Thursday as Jeffrey's company. But David, how's it going? How's your weekend?
Brother, it was great. It was a great weekend of golf, great weather, a little bit of sunburn. That's as good as it gets. I played 81 holes. Didn't quite get to 90 holes, but 81
why
holes
only 81? Did you just like did it get dark, or did you just run out of steam?
So I thought we were staying tonight, or I thought we were staying last night as well, and then gonna drive back this morning. Because, I mean, in my mind, I have Mondays off, you know, and So that's the world I live in. Obviously, getting 11 other people to all take Monday off, I probably should have realized that was a pretty tall order. So we played until mid-afternoon yesterday, and then it was like, all right, let's pack it up. Everybody else has a normal job. I have a not normal job. So I was like, I could stay. But, I was pretty beat by then.
Yeah, I got some rave reviews of you this weekend. You were on that trip with my buddy, and he said, was on a golf trip with David Cobb this weekend. Great guy. We never played in the same group, but he can mash a golf ball. That was the review that was given by my good friend Trevor, who you were on that trip with.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, well, honestly, if I could ever – I don't think I've ever had two sentences said about me that make me more proud. I can mash a golf ball, and I'm a great guy. Like that's all I want. Like I should make that my Twitter bio.
Yeah,
like,
no. What I had to tell him though, when he said that, I was like on air last week. David asked me how to get under your skin. You asked how to get under this guy's skin because you knew you were going to be on the trip with him. I had to let him know that. You know, while he was giving these rave reviews, I'm like he wanted to trash talk you. Just so we're clear.
Well, it's funny. So we had like 12 people. So you know, three foursomes. We played as 12. That's the cool thing about Sweetens Cove. They'll let you play in your group of 12, which we did for a little bit. But yeah, it takes
you got to break that up eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, you do, because otherwise you'll play 18 holes in 10 hours. But it worked out to where we never actually were like in direct competition with each other, you know, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I don't know. Trevor's good people. I had a lot of questions for him. Like, how does one become a long snapper? You know, like at what point in your athletic childhood did somebody look at you and be like, yeah, that's a long snapper right there. You know what I mean?
Did he let you know the history?
He pulled back the curtain for me a little bit. He's got a family history of long
Yes,
snapper.
He does.
So his older brother's a
brother and, Tyler was at Georgia Tech in the that was the Reggie Ball Calvin Johnson era.
No kidding! Wow, yeah. that's pretty stellar. So he told me he kind of got down to the wire where, like, you know, he had a lot of schools pretty interested and stuff. And then Ryan, I get it, or no?
Was no, it would have been Fuente at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, Fuente called him and offered him a scholarship, and he's like, all right. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is – well, I mean, how many schools – I know we're about to move into this new era in the house settlement, you know, is going to change the scholarship dynamics. But historically speaking, you know, as a long snapper, it's pretty hard to get that scholarship offer because you only need one.
Yep.
And if you got a preferred walk-on who can do it, who doesn't take a scholarship, you know, then you're not going to use one. So – the fact to get a Division I long snapping scholarship, man, that's pretty impressive.
All specialists go through that, and it used to be, and this is how they did it at the University of Memphis. Well, Jake Elliott was a scholarship guy. That should be obvious. Trevor was a scholarship guy immediately. They knew what they were getting. You have to go to the Coles kicking camp and the specialist camp and get all your ratings, and then they figure it out from there. Then the special teams coordinator will hit you up and give you an offer. But what they used to do is, you know, at schools like the University of Memphis, what we had is we had two punters that were brought in my class, and they would compete for a scholarship for that first year.
Yeah.
And then may the best man win, and if the other guy wants to go elsewhere, they can go elsewhere. But I think that's sort of eliminated now because guys really want a scholarship by the time they get on campus. They don't want to take a chance.
Like competition within the special teams room, too. You know, it's like dog eat dog here.
Yeah.
You're fighting for one scholarship. It's kind of wild.
Yeah, but to get a scholarship back when he got a scholarship, that was an uphill battle for sure. For sure. But
yeah,
it's also strange because you could have an offer from Georgia and Memphis, and they may be your only two offers, and you realize the divide on like where you're actually going to end up going. Because it's all about need. It's all about need and who's out there.
For sure. So, yeah, it's like 11:30 on, probably, I guess, Saturday night. And we're just out in the yard hanging out, like whatever, probably about to go to bed because, you know, we just played 36 holes.
Right.
But, you know, just living off the vibes for a little while longer. And we got some like deflated, like junior size peewee football, and he starts long snapping to people. So that was
oh,
cool.
He was winging it. If it was a junior size football, that thing was flying at about 70 miles an hour right back at you.
Well, you know, Knox, he was there, and he was the recipient of the snaps. And the first couple, he was like, whoa.
Well, what you should have done is if you guys had a little bit more, you probably had some liquid courage, and you throw a make him do target practice. Throw a can on top of Knox's head, see if Trevor can knock it off.
Ah, man, that's a great idea. I wish I had thought of that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now I'm going to start this conversation here when it comes to college football. Do you have a preference on the college football playoff going forward? Whether it be 5 automatic qualifiers and 11, 8 at-larges, or Lane Kiffin 16 at-larges, or 4 automatic qualifiers for the SEC and the Big Ten, 2 for the other two conferences, 1 for the group. Do you have a preference?
Yeah, I do. I think I do, Gabe. Well, first off, my preference would be that we give the 12-team playoff more years. Okay, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to phase that out after this coming season. Okay, whatever. I'll get over it. But when we go to 16, instead of trying to pigeonhole these conferences into a certain number of automatic bids and then basically leaving it to where you're only going to have a couple of at-large teams, I would prefer that we either go 16 at-large or do 5 automatic bids. One for each of the Power 4 champions, one for the best group of 5 team, and then do 11 at-large bids. I'd like to see 11 or 16 at-large bids. That way we don't have these conferences complaining about, well, you know, it's stacked against us or whatever. And if I'm the SEC or the Big Ten, and I think, you know, I'm as good as I think I am, then I want as many at-larges as possible. Because, you know what, the Big 12 and the ACC – maybe they don't deserve a collective total of 4 bids. If we're as good as we think we are, then you know, we could get some of that space in the bracket. So, you know, I'd like for it to be settled on the field. I'd like for it to be 11 or 16 at-large bids and, you know, let the regular season actually mean something. Let the regular season decide who's going to be in the playoff.
Well, you brought up maybe less complaining. I think we would almost have more complaining in that particular situation. Because then we'd get into the strength of schedule, strength of record, what conference you're in, I can only play who's ahead of me type deal. I understand what you're saying, right? We can let it play out on the field. But I don't think there's any way forward where we could eliminate, I don't know, most of the complaining, I guess is the way I'll put it. I don't think there's any way forward.
If that's the case, then the ACC and the Big 12 need to sign off immediately on each getting two automatic bids into the playoff. Like, don't complain. That's a great outcome for the ACC and the Big 12 to have guaranteed access for multiple teams. Because if we go to an at-large thing and the SEC and the Big 10 start playing a non-conference series against each other and the SEC goes to nine conference games, then, you better believe they're going to be factoring strength of schedule in that scenario. And it's going to box the ACC and the Big 12 out. And so that I felt like the Big 10 and the SEC were being honestly a little generous by saying, hey, we're going to reserve a quarter of the field for the ACC and the Big 12 because we know how good the Big 10 and the SEC think they are. Like, there's just a disconnect between how good those two conferences think they are and then what they're actually proposing, because what they're proposing is for the playoff field to have a lot of representation from outside of those two conferences. And it's like, man, if they would actually schedule aggressively and factor strength of schedule into the equation, the Big Ten and the SEC could really comprise, 12 or 13 of these spots.
So if you're calling that generous, can I assume that you have given up on the idea of parity and involvement or what's the word for it? I mean, just getting more people involved, getting more people in the dance. Like, you've given up on that idea. If you're calling that generous, that's how I feel.
Well, the ACC and the Big 12 gave up on it because they agreed to let the Big 10 and the SEC make the rules, which was, I think, a really poor decision because they don't actually have a vote anymore. I mean, they have a voice, allegedly. I mean, they're going to consult or whatever with the SEC and the Big 10 and these college football playoff meetings, but ultimately it's not up to them. I mean, they have given the keys in writing to the Big 10 and the SEC, and they have to go with, whatever those conferences ultimately decide. And that's why everybody thinks Greg Sankey is the bad guy. But honestly, I think it's kind of weak leadership from the rest of college sports that has put us in this position. I mean, Greg Sankey is just sort of the face of what's become inevitable. I think to a certain degree, he's like trying to balance what's in the best interest of college sports versus what's in the best interest of the SEC. But who's signing his paychecks? It's not the Big 12. I mean, it's not the ACC. And there is no leadership at a higher level right now with the NCAA, which, I mean, honestly, the NCAA was never involved in college football's postseason in the first place. So, it kind of stinks the way it's all played out. But the mistakes on this were made 15, 20, 30 years ago. And now we're kind of seeing the downside of it.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue that everybody has with Greg Sankey is the posturing. Acting somewhat put upon when he gets in front of a mic at SEC spring meetings, but that's beyond the point. So this is what Brett Yormark, new commissioner of the Big 12, had to say at Big 12 spring meetings. He basically said that he has hope that Greg Sankey, Tony Petitti, the powers that be in the Big 10 and the SEC are going to make the decisions that are best for college football as a whole. That's his hope. And he says he feels solid about it. Like, do you buy that? Should he feel that way? Because I don't think he should.
Well, the thing, there's this antiquated notion of collegiality in college sports. Like, it used to be that the power conference commissioners would work together and that it was, it was all for the collective whole and the collective good. But that all went out the window when we started doing conference realignment and when the SEC started poaching teams from the Big 12. And shoot, I mean, go back further than that, when the Pac-12 tried to start poaching teams from the Big 12, and now the Pac-12 ironically no longer exists. But this notion of collegiality between these commissioners, it's like it's still out there, but it's really more of a myth than it is a reality, because the conference realignment and the poaching of teams from other leagues has really kind of shown like what the truth is, which is that it's dog eat dog and it's every man for himself and every conference for himself. And they get together in boardrooms and in suits and ties and shake hands and talk about their high-minded mutual ideals. But then at the end of the day, It's dollars and cents, and playoff spots are money, and money is everything right now when, you know, the future is paying the athletes. And so, I mean, that's what it comes down to. I'm not saying that Greg Sankey and Tony Petitto are ill-intentioned or evil. But at the end of the day, they're running businesses, and that's more clear to me now than it has been. But there is some of that antiquated idea of collegiality, as if you could put, you know, Apple and Samsung and Google and Facebook in a room together and have them all agree right. on like the future of AI or something, you know,
right.
whereas like, okay, maybe they'll talk nicely about it and shake hands. But at the end of the day, like, they're each trying to get a leg up on the other one. And that's how I see this.
Talking with David Cobb at David W. Cobb, college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports. Before we got to the weekend, we did get a report, or at least, you know, Howard Bryant talking about Cooper Flagg and how much money he was, you know, estimated to have made at Duke. And he said $13 million from New Balance, $15 million from Fanatics. So $28 million worth of contracts. Now, that doesn't mean he made all of that in that 1 year. Those could have been over three or five or whatever years, amount of years. So you'd have to do the math there. But what was your reaction to learning that? Because this is the first time we had fully been let inside the curtain peeled back to Cooper Flagg's 1 year at Duke and how much money was on the table for him.
Yeah, wow. I mean, you're not shocked, but then at the same time, when you hear the figures, it's like, it is crazy. I mean, that used to be like what you would make on a max, like 1 year of a max NBA deal. I mean,
right.
15 years ago, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And to make that as a 17-year-old, he was 17 for the first half of his freshman season at Duke. That's staggering. He made more money as a juvenile than you or I will make combined over
right.
the entirety of our careers by a wide, wide margin. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around that. So, I mean, hey, but it's smart, man. That's the name of the game, right? Like New Balance got their hands on Cooper Flagg. Like, that's kind of wild, right? And that's going to pay dividends, right? Because down the road, when he's an NBA All-Star and he's got 25 million Instagram followers he's on there wearing New Balance, man, that's going to go a long way for them.
Yeah. Now, this also brought into, at least for me, I considered what I learned a week before that bit of news, the $28 million. It's that the early entrance into the NBA draft, right? It's the lowest number since 2015, only 106. It's down from in 2021, and I know there was COVID things that sort of boosted the number in 2021, but it was 363 at the peak. But it's down to 106 early entrance to the NBA draft. I considering, you know, Tahad Pettiford came back, and he could have been a first rounder. LeBaron Filon came back to Alabama. He could have been maybe a top 20 pick. What do you think about the health for the NBA in that sort of same realm and the health of college basketball? I would imagine college basketball would be healthy because they're getting more players back and more stars back. But how do you feel about sort of the two-way street there? Is that good for both parties, bad for one, good for the other, or are you kind of indifferent on it?
Well, think about it, though. The type of player that the NBA would be getting with a Tahad Pettiford or LeBaron Filon, it's almost the equivalent of like a stash kind of guy, like you would, you know, pick from Europe in the second round, where it's like, this guy isn't going to be anything for us immediately. It's like a Scoot Henderson in Portland or something, where you draft the upside. So it's not going to pay immediate dividends. The guys stay in college for a few years. I mean, I trust Nate Oates. I trust Bruce Pearl to do as good of a job in developing them as players over the next 1, 2, 3 years as I would an NBA front office.
The G League coach.
Play those guys. Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, maybe some would disagree with me. I mean, maybe some would say, no, the NBA strength and developing strength and conditioning is way better, and, you know, you're gonna get the practice experience against pros. And, like, there's something to be said for that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, they're going to come out far more ready to contribute and closer to contributing than they would as 19-year-olds. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, you're going to make a comparable amount of money staying in college at this point. You don't have to fly commercial to remote G League outposts, and you're actually going to get to play. Whereas if you're LeBaron Filon or Tahad Pettiford, you're hoping to get into 20 NBA games next season. Most of those will probably be garbage time. Maybe in April, you can get a couple of starts. Maybe on the second night of a back-to-back, you can play off the bench like a Kennedy Chandler did, you know, as a rookie in Memphis. I mean, I think that's a great comp. I think in this era, I think if Kennedy Chandler had the same decision right now that he had, what was that, 4 years ago now? Like, I think he would look at it a lot differently because of the money he could have made by coming back to Tennessee. Now, at the time, the money wasn't quite the same in the NIL, so he decides to come out and be a second-round draft pick. But I think LeBaron Filon and Tahad Pettiford are very comparable type of players, but now the money is such to where it just makes so much more sense to go back to college.
So do we have to – this is the question that I posed off of that. Do we have to sort of not throw away the age conversation altogether? If somebody's 24 or 25, they're not going to be a first round pick because they've, you know, they don't have a bunch of developmental runway. But, you know, in the past with the NBA draft, if you're a sophomore or a junior, that docks you. That docks you a fair amount. Well, this guy's 21, 22 years old. This guy's 18, and we feel really good about his development and what we could do with him. We're going to take him instead. Are we moving farther away from the age requirement, the age issue, as guys get older and older playing college basketball?
Well, I've got a theory on that now that you bring that up. You know, because Jeffrey has been hammering this point now for a few weeks. It's about, in this era, having quality players under team control that you can complement your very exorbitantly paid, you know, group of stars. And you can get a guy, if he's 23 years old, as a rookie, he might be way more ready to contribute than an 18 or 19 year old would be. And then you get him on a team friendly deal for 4 or 5 years. There you go. You got a role player from day one, who is on a, let's say, let's say a Scottie Pippen level contract. That's the comp is Scottie Pippen Jr. He's under a very team friendly deal in Memphis. He played several years of college basketball. He was, you know, he's ready to contribute fairly early in his NBA career because he's an older guy, and he's on a team-friendly deal. So, I mean, I think that could really help some of these NBA teams to get an older prospect if that's what you're looking for. Now, if you're looking for a superstar, like, that's obviously not sure. Probably what we're talking about here. You know, but if you're a superstar, if you're Cooper Flagg, if you're Ace Bailey, if you're Dylan Harper, if you are Trey Johnson – you know, you're coming out, you're a one and done, and they're going to develop you into that. And it's a no-brainer there too. But I mean, I think, you know, it could kind of help the NBA. You know, you go out and get a role playing 22, 23 year old rookie. I mean, the Grizzlies did that with Jalen Wells and Zach Edey, and now they're going to have those guys into their mid-20s on really team-friendly deals.
Well, and honestly, I think we look at a good transition here to the NBA Finals. I think you look at these NBA Finals and these two teams, they have a lot of players like that. Andrew Nimhard, Aaron Nesmith, for the Pacers, Obi Toppin's a guy like that. You look at the Thunder and all the guys off the bench. I know Alex Caruso has been around for a while, but he fits that role player mold. You know, Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins. You just go down the list. I think that the NBA Finals is a good example of trying to bring in that talent you have on team control before you have to pay them. I know that the Thunder are going to have to pay all these guys in 26, 27. They may not be able to afford it, but they found a way to do it and get to the promised land before all of that hit. Now, with this finals, how do you feel about this matchup, Thunder-Pacers?
Well, I think in my heart of hearts, I think Oklahoma City's probably going to win it in five. I'd love to see the Thunder – or excuse me, I'd love to see the Pacers push it to 6 or 7. And I hold out a morsel of hope solely because of Tyrese Haliburton and just how he controls the pace of the game and how infrequently he turns the ball over. And like in my mind, I'm imagining this world in which he's spraying it out to Mathurin and Nesmith and they're drilling a bunch of threes and stuff. But, you know, I don't know. I'll say this. I think Miles Turner is actually better equipped offensively to contribute something of substance than Rudy Gobert was.
Yeah.
That's my hope anyway, because the Thunder just totally mitigated Rudy Gobert. And I mean, that's going to be huge. Like, that's a lot to put on Miles Turner, but my man's got to give him something because that Oklahoma City front court, and it's just, you know, they just completely shut down Rudy Gobert after he had really quality performances in the first couple of rounds. So it's like, man, like if they could just get something from him, maybe Tyrese Haliburton can do enough. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it go to 6 or 7. I really like Indiana, but I'm probably going OKC in five.
This is really a finals, though, that we could look back at and say a lot changed. Our view of playoff basketball and championship teams changed a lot. Because we've been talking about parity. Like, both these teams could win their first NBA finals in their franchise's history. Obviously, we're not counting Supersonics days for the Thunder. But, like, we talked about parity. There's also parity in how they're getting it done with pace and with depth. I think when you look at the way they've constructed their rosters, neither team in the luxury tax. That's the first time since the luxury tax has been enacted that two teams are facing off against each other in the NBA Finals, where luxury tax isn't a thing. They haven't been taxpayers. So, like, this year has gone a long way into sort of changing my outlook on what championship teams are in the NBA, because I feel like we have cornered ourselves with certain narratives in the past that do not explain what we've seen this season.
Yeah, the era of the big three has officially gone by the wayside.
Sure.
You know, I mean, you can draw that line all the way back if you want to LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. I mean, they were like the original big three of the post Kobe, Shaq, post Michael and Scotty era.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
And they kind of popularized that. The Warriors took it to a whole new level with a literal all-star team. And then and then ever since, it's like, all right, what's your big three? You know, I guess you could kind of say that, you know, Denver didn't have a third. It was Murray and Jokic. You could kind of say that Milwaukee, I mean, was really one star and Giannis, but this just sort of finalizes the whole idea that, like, look, as recently as a couple of years ago, you have the Clippers going out star chasing with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. I don't know, like, I just kind of feel like the trading for stars and bringing them in and then constructing a trio of guys making 40 plus million, like that's not necessarily the way anymore. I think that's ultimately, if you want to have a positive takeaway for the Grizzlies, like, you know, they can do that. They can do what Indiana did or Oklahoma City did. Like, you know, obviously Oklahoma City amassed a ton of draft capital and they had to go through a pretty significant rebuild and everything. But, you know, Indiana and Oklahoma City, they're not large market teams with just crazy budgets living in the luxury tax with, you know, just bukus of money to spend and crazy local TV deals or anything. You know, I mean, it's replicable. So that's encouraging.
And thanks for bringing up Paul George, because three of the four All-Stars playing in the finals were acquired through Paul George trades. How about that? SGA, Tyrese Halliburton, and J-Dub, Jalen Williams. He was a pick that was in one of those, the Oklahoma City trade. But that's fun. Trade away Paul George. Good things happen. That's kind of that's unfortunate for Paul George, but fortunate for the teams that traded him.
Well, it makes you realize though, like you got to listen. Like if somebody comes calling on Ja or Dez or Jaren, what could you get? Yeah. Hey, I say that.
I would want to wait till next off season, but I agree with your overarching sentiment. I guess don't get too stuck into one idea of what your championship team is supposed to look like.
No doubt. Like obviously, I don't. It would be pretty miserable to see the Grizzlies tank and like punt on this era right. or whatever. But like you know, like I'm not advocating for that, but. You see the dividends. Like don't give away one of those guys for what Dallas did. Like don't do that. If the right deal is out there, he can really pay off down the road. That's all I'm saying.
For sure. Well, David, we'll talk down the road. Down the road meaning Wednesday. Appreciate you joining. We'll do it then.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. He is David Cobb at David W. Cobb on ex-college basketball, college football writer for CBS Sports, and he's brought to you by Oxbow. This Father's Day, it's coming up soon. It's in this month. It's on the 15th. Skip the socks and get Dad something he'll actually use. Yeti coolers. You can get free ice for life if you buy a cooler at Oxbow. You can get Filson bags, poncho fishing gear, Gentile polos, Martin Dingman belts. They have just about everything you could possibly need for Dad at 964 June Road at Oxbow. They've also got a curated mix of rugged, refined, ready-to-wrap gifts. Whether he's a sportsman, a sharp dresser, just hard to shop for, the team will be there. There will be no bad questions to ask. They will help you find something for Dad this Father's Day. Stop by and build a custom 901 gift box that says, "Thanks, Dad, the Memphis way." Oxbow, your go-to for Father's Day done. Right. Find them at 964 June Road, off Poplar, on June Road, behind the Amoco Station, or go to shopoxbow.com. That's shopoxbeau.com. Oxbow is anchored in Memphis. All right, now, Memphis basketball has begun their off-season workouts, and all 13 of their scholarship players are on campus. Let's talk about it. What's this team going to look like next year? What are the holes they need to fill? Big discussion on Tiger basketball when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. For lack of a better term, today is the first day of the 25-26 season for Memphis basketball. All 13 scholarship players are on campus, and they started their off-season workout program. So with that, Parth Upadhyay from the Daily Memphian, good friend of the show, put out an article you should go read at the Daily Memphian. As summer workouts begin, it's a look at the Tigers' projected starters and rotation. And this is what Parth ultimately had written down. As the starters, Doug McDaniel at the 1, Sincere Parker at 2, Zach Davis from South Carolina at the 3, Hassan Abdul-Hakim from UT Rio Grande Valley, more on him in a second, at the 4, and Aaron Bradshaw at the 5. This is without Dane Danger. They'll need the house settlement to go through and another scholarship to open up for Dane Danger, as well as the waiver to go through. So there's a lot of different hoops they're going to have to jump through to see if Dane Danger can return. Now, when I looked at that starting lineup, a couple of things stuck out. One, I think with that lineup, you do have at least three of those five starters as really good creators. Doug McDaniel, no surprise there. He's been at Kansas State. He's been at Michigan. He was a 15-point per game scorer 2 years ago. He's a big assist getter, right around 6 assists per game the last couple of years. He is a guy who can create for himself and for teammates. And then Sincere Parker for sure can create for himself. This is a guy 2 years ago when he was at St. Louis. It really was impressive. In 20.7 minutes per game, 15 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, and again, just in 42% from 3 in just 20 minutes. Parth actually went in and sort of dug out what a 40-minute sample size would be. A 40-minute sample size per 40 minutes for Sincere Parker. 30.8 points per game, 8.2 rebounds per game, 1.7 assists per game, 1.6 steals per game, and 1.5 blocks per game. So he has not played a whole lot of extended minutes in any of his stops in college basketball, but you can see where the production could just rise if he gets a certain amount, 30 minutes, you know, 31, 32 per night. Also, I think Hassan Abdul-Hakim, people are not very familiar with him, but he's about 6'8", 215 pounds, can shoot the three ball, can score at all three levels. And when I talk about creation with him, if you watched him at UT Rio Grande Valley, I understand a lot of people did not. I did. I saw him against Creighton early in the season last year where he put up 26 in the Ryan Kalkbrenner 50-point game that Creighton ultimately ran away with. But he's a guy who at UT Rio Grande Valley was on ball a lot, assisting his teammates, and could handle the ball a fair amount for his size. So I think when you look at that starting lineup, you see three of the five guys who can create for themselves and for teammates at a decently high level. Also, when we look at Doug McDaniel and Sincere Parker at the one and two, I'm going to make this comparison. I don't think it's a one-to-one. I think it's the light version of this duo that I'm going to mention. But I think that when you look at Doug and Sincere Parker and their skill sets, Doug, very much a point guard, handles the ball, sets up offense, and can score. Sincere Parker, very much just bucket getter. That's what he does at a very high level. I think you could create the comparison of making them the Tyrese Hunter and P.J. Haggerty light of this year's team. Not the same players, not as proven, but I think you could say that they are the light version of what we saw a year ago.
I think that's certainly the help. You know, those numbers are certainly jump out, but then you have to ask yourself, well, why did he only play 20 minutes?
Yes.
Those were the numbers he was getting. And I think the obvious answer to that is probably his defense has to pop up. So that is where I think that they'll be able to replicate to some degree the offensive production that you were getting from P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter. But what they'll have to buckle down on and make sure they're trying to focus on, and one thing that we've seen Penny Hardaway teams thrive on, is they've got to be able to play some defense. If they can play defense and turn that into offense, then they may be able to get close to what P.J. Haggerty and Tyrese Hunter were able to do. But I do think what has gotten lost, you know, during the conversation about P.J. Haggerty, whether he's coming back or not, is, you know, Tyrese Hunter was so important to what that team was doing last season.
You saw it against Colorado State.
Exactly, because of what he was doing defensively. So those numbers really pop for Sincere Parker, and they're very exciting. And I think that Doug McDaniel is an exciting offensive player too. But what are they going to do defensively,
right?
I think will ultimately define the season for the Tigers.
And Tyrese Hunter, it was defensively as well, but he was very good at facilitating the offense. You got to get the ball out of P.J. Haggerty's hands once
Trusted
in a while.
Hands, yeah.
And he was way better than P.J. Haggerty, even though I thought P.J. Haggerty was fine at it. He was way better at being able to assist his team without turning the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Doug McDaniel falls into line with that. Now, defensively, to your point, Doug McDaniel is not a big guy. He's 5'10", but he's a guy who can get some steals. I mean, he really is a pesky on-ball defender as a point guard, although he does not have the size. Sincere Parker, a little struggle on the defensive end. That's kind of your weak link. Zach Davis, good length, good athleticism, can get out and run. Hassan Abdul-Hakim, I haven't really seen him play a whole lot of defense, but he's got good length, good athleticism, can get out and run. Aaron Bradshaw is going to be the wild card there. He's certainly a 7'1", athletic as hell. He can block shots, but can he stay on the floor for an extended period of time? Because we know that he has had issues in his first 2 years in college after being a McDonald's All-American with his fouls. He's fouled out on multiple occasions and hasn't been able to stay on the floor. The bench he has, Curtis Givens III is one of the first guys off the bench. Quante Berry, Julius Thedford, Ashton Hardaway, and then you get into the guys that may see limited playing time. William Wharton, Daniel Vieira Tuck, Felipe Patino, and Mason Matthews. I think sort of looking at it now with Dante Harris out of the picture, Curtis Givens III, and I know John Martin's very high on him, he could be a guy who really pops in year two at Memphis, taking a step down in competition from the SEC to the AAC. And he's a guy who seemingly should get a fair amount of playing time as a backup ball handler. I mean, he could be a guy that really gives them something off the bench. But again, as we've had the conversation, I don't know how many times at this point, 10, 15, they don't have bigs. They just don't. And that's the glaring issue that is as clear as day to everybody who is looking at the way this team has been constructed.
they have bigs in terms of size. We just don't necessarily know if the talent is going to be there when it comes to the bigs. Now, again, the asterisk you have to put on this conversation is if Dane Danger gets that waiver, this entire conversation
changes.
And I think
there's another asterisk. You could talk me into Aaron Bradshaw really taking a step.
Former five-star recruit. He just
has crazy talent.
His talent hasn't met the potential yet. And it seems like that this season in the American, with a step down in competition,
with more consistent playing time,
right, he has the opportunity now for that talent to come to the forefront. And that is what you were hoping on. We've talked to a couple different people about this Memphis Tigers basketball team, and the word that keeps coming up is potential. This team has a lot of potential. Is that potential going to be met by these players? That is the question. And if that happens, and if some of these bigs, who they already have the size, we're not talking about literal height. We're talking about the talent that they have and the reliability that these guys have. If that comes into the fold during the season, then this Tigers team has a chance to be exciting. Again, we have full confidence in their ability in the American. Most of this conversation and about the ceiling of this team comes with what can happen outside a conference. Like when you're playing a team like Purdue, if you don't have talented bigs or bigs that are going to show up for the game, you're going to struggle because of how those teams are built. Are you going to be able to win a game in the NCAA tournament? That is what we are talking about, because I think that the way this roster is built right now, the expectation should be and is fair to be, well, they'll be back in the NCAA tournament. So can you get to a second game now? That's the expectation for this Memphis Tigers team. And I think that, you know, the Dane Danger thing certainly raises that ceiling. But right now, I think it's fair to have a bit of a question mark while still having hope that potential of somebody like Aaron Bradshaw really leaps off this season.
And I didn't lead with this because I wanted to end with this. Second straight year where all 13 of your scholarship players are on campus.
That's huge.
By June 2nd, June 1st.
Big time.
Because we saw how badly that turned out in 23-24, the Javon Quinn early David Jones team, when they didn't quite have that runway leading into the season. This is second straight year where they've been able to accomplish this. I know that there's some negatives we could talk about, not having returning players, not having any continuity. I get all of that. But when you have that hand dealt to you and you're turning over a roster every year, the minimum expectation and the expectation you have to reach is getting them on campus as quick as possible so they can learn and gel and meet each other.
As Parth said, having 13 newcomers and no guaranteed returnees, having pretty much the entire team on campus in June is a massive win by Petty Hardaway. And he deserves a ton of credit for that.
2 straight years. Yep. I think he's learned from his missteps in the past.
I will say, I'm excited to see what this team looks like. Yeah. Because they do have players that may take a leap next year. And if they do, this Tigers team could be a bit dangerous. Right now, we expect them to be dominant in the American because of the talent level in the American. But I'm curious to see what they're going to be able to do outside of conference. Cautious optimism, I think, is how we're going to approach this 100%. Team. And who knows? Maybe we look up a month after the season starts and say, okay, Aaron Bradshaw, he's showing something here. He might be able to give them a little bit more than we thought.
Yep, for sure. We'll see. We'll see. Small talk is on the way. Make sure you stick around. And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, I want to get back into the NBA Finals because there's a bunch of odds being posted right this second and, series odds, Finals MVP odds, that whole thing. Vegas seems to think this is going to go one way. I think it's going to go that way as well. I think the Thunder are going to win, and also I think SGA is going to be the Finals MVP. But these odds are absolutely staggering because we have not played a game. No one's up 1-0 in the series. No one's up 2-0 in the series. We don't have any games under our belt to really reference those. Right now, series betting odds. The Oklahoma City Thunder are minus 750 to win the NBA Finals over the Indiana Pacers, who are plus 530. And then even more insane than that, when you get to player props, and usually you get decent odds on who's going to...
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
To be the finals MVP? Well, not this season. According to, basically, it's BetUS and FanDuel and DraftKings all put together an amalgamation of all of their odds. SGA, minus 600 to be NBA Finals MVP. Those are implied odds of 85%. He has an 85% chance, according to Vegas, of winning the finals and being the finals MVP. Now, I did look at that, and it threw me off. That's one of the biggest favorites in NBA history once you get to the NBA Finals. But then I thought about it, and I was thinking through, okay, who else on the Oklahoma City Thunder, the team that's minus 750, would you even put in that conversation? Because I don't even know if I can put Jalen Williams in that conversation before a Pacers player. Because if the Pacers ultimately win, you have Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam. If you're ranking who you think is likely to win, you have SGA at the top. Who follows him? Who follows him to you in NBA Finals likelihood MVP?
It would have to be Tyrese Halliburton, I think.
Tyrese Halliburton,
Pascal Siakam.
But Pascal just won Eastern Conference Finals MVP.
Yeah,
he'd have to be right there, somewhat close.
Right, it would be. I think it would probably be SGA, Tyrese, Pascal Siakam,
then Jalen,
J-Dub, Miles Turner.
Then you get into some.
And then it's like Alex Caruso, Nimhard.
You know, Alex Caruso, you brought that up at the break. That's an interesting one. I don't think it would happen.
It would have to be some sort of Iggy. Like, he would have to completely shut down Tyrese Halliburton.
Tyrese Halliburton would have to average
like
5 points per game, and Alex Caruso is the main defender the entire time.
And SGA would have to kind of struggle. for that to happen. Which, if the Thunder are going to win the finals, though, and I don't see a world in which they can do that with SGA struggling.
The Iggy LeBron comparison is so, like, that's, to me,
it's the fakest.
We can't compare anything to that ever again, because LeBron still averaged, what, 26 points per game in that series against the Warriors? Like, something like that, 26, 27, 28?
I think probably more than that.
Yeah, but, like, that was the fakest finals MVP in history. And listen, shout out to Iggy for getting it. Shout out, whatever. But, like, Steph should have won that finals
100%,
MVP.
100%.
There's no reason that Iggy should have won that, ultimately. This is the fakest thing ever. And I don't see that ever happening again. And I don't think the Pacers, to that same, like, if we're trying to draw that comparison, the Pacers don't have that player that is on that Bron level where it's like you limit him to 20 points per game, you get all that credit for it. You limit Tyrese Halliburton to 20 points per game, guess what? He only averaged 19 during the regular season. You limit Pascal Siakam to 20 points per game, guess what? He averaged that during the regular season.
LeBron averaged 36, 13, no way. And 9.
How did he win it?
How did he not win it?
No, how did Iggy win it that year?
Because for some reason they didn't
narratives?
Give it to Steph. It was stupid.
It just narratives. Well,
here's what should have happened in 2015. Either LeBron should have won it, which hadn't happened since Jerry West, but the stats were there. Or Steph.
Yeah.
Giving it to Iguodala was insane. They gave it to Iguodala because they didn't want to give it to LeBron. It didn't make any sense.
Just give it to Steph. That is the definition of overthinking.
100%.
Good God. That's ridiculous.
It was stupid.
Looking back at it, that is just insane that they did that. Voters should be ashamed of themselves. Whoever voted on that, if they still have a vote today, take it away. That's how I feel.
Steph had 26 points a game in the finals that year. Steph averaged 26, 5, and 6 with two steals. How didn't he win the MVP?
He won it because Iguodala won it because of online and first take narratives, sounds like.
Just silliness.
Yeah, 100%. But SGA minus 600 implied odds of 85% to win finals.
Feels right.
Feels 100% correct. But it is insane to see. It is wild to see him that heavily favored. All right, now hour number 3 is on the way. Make sure you stick around. We have plenty more for you. We'll get into the Blitz here at about 6:30. But coming up next, we bring on Jason Smith. He's one of the two co-hosts for Jason and John from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom?
Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.